He led us in worship this morning. He told us the truth. Our Redeemer lives, and we give thanks and praise this morning. Thank you so much, Reverend Nikki, for getting them all ready, for leading us. Thank you. Friends, today is a good day. Amen? And it's not a good day because of what is happening. It's a good day because the Lord has made today. It's a day that the Lord has made, and so we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? I'd like to share with you the good news, the reason why we can rejoice and be glad. This gospel message this morning, it comes from Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. Let us hear this word. On the first day of the week, this is after Jesus was crucified on Friday, on the first day of the week, which is today, Sunday, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. This is the women who had come to the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. And the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Shame on them in that moment. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping in and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious Lord Jesus Christ, risen Savior, be present in our lives right now, alive, showing to us what it is to be alive in you. We pray that you would let the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight. Our rock, our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ has risen.
He is risen.
All right, come on. Jesus Christ has risen.
He is risen.
Amen. He is alive. Amen. The Lord has conquered death. He was put up on the cross for the sins of the world. He was crucified, but then on the third day, he rose from the dead. He rose from the grave. Jesus is awesome. Amen. He is wonderful. He's good. And he's alive. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the heart of the Christian proclamation that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people, and it says this, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus Christ was crucified, but now he is alive. He's risen. He's full of the abundant and eternal life that God has promised to everyone who believes. For just as the gospel according to John says, "For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Life. Life is the message of Easter Sunday. Life. You know, this last week, I heard in the news that some scientists believe they found signs of life on another planet. Did you hear this? This is serious. They were looking into the great expanse of space with the new James Webb telescope and began to study a planet called K2-18b, which is about 124 light years away from Earth, so that means it's very, very far away. But the planet is big enough for us to see with the telescope and to study to some extent through that means. Anyways, As these scientists studied the planet, they discovered some signs of a gas in the atmosphere that typically denotes life, which led them to postulate and theorize that this gas could be coming from something like algae blooms in the waters and the oceans of the planet, just like it does on our planet. In other words, they think they found a sign of life on another planet, which is kind of amazing if you think about it. I mean, there definitely are other scientists who are debating the claims and saying that the gases could maybe arise from something different than life, so it remains to be seen if the study is accurate or not. But still, the possibility that they found life on another planet is amazing. And you know what? That kind of thing doesn't disturb my faith in God. Instead, it just makes me think all the more that our God is awesome. And the one who has made the heavens and the earth is able to do what he wants to do throughout the whole of the universe and not just upon the planet Earth. That's what the study makes me think. But it also, this possibility of life on another planet has stirred up this question for me. A question of, what is life? What is life? Now, listen, if you were to Google search for a scientific definition of life, you would find this, that life is not easy to define, not even for the scientist. There's something about life that is mysterious to us, and it's not easily defined. For instance, we might say that life is a biological process in matter so that things like our bodies can grow and develop and live, and that is life. But at the same time, all of us here, I think we would say, we know that life is so much more complicated than that. It may include all this biological stuff in the world, but it's so much more deep than just animated matter. There's a spirit to life. So what is life? You know what? The Bible has a lot to say about what life is and what it is not. And I'd like to share just a few things with you today about this, because the story of Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, the story of Easter, is fundamentally a story about what God declares life to be. And in this day and age, in which there is so much darkness and death abounding, you and I, we need to hear the message of what life is according to God. And the first thing to say is this: life is that which comes from the Lord. In him was life, declares the Gospel of John. All things come into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him, listen to this, was life. And the life was the light of all people. God is the creator of life. He has brought it forth. And he can sustain it as he pleases. It's the way that God brings forth his loving work in creation through life. For God is the creator of life. It comes from him. It belongs to him. It's revealed by him in all of its fullness in and through Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment of God's life. Meaning that if we want to know what life is, then we need to look at Jesus. In him, we see that the Lord gives life to those who would believe in him, and that he gives it in such a way that nothing can take it away. You know, when Jesus was with his disciples in the flesh, he prayed to his Father in heaven, and he said this, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given authority to him over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." And then he goes on and says, "Father, I give thanks that I have not lost one of them to whom you have given me. And now I pray for them that they may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." In other words, Jesus through this prayer, is teaching his disciples that life is what happens when God gets inside of you. And we live in relationship to the Lord, because life comes from God. It is the thing that arises when we live in relationship with the Lord. And because of this, life is not as fragile as it so often seems to be in this world. In this world, life seems to be something that can easily be taken away from us, sometimes by age, sometimes by accident, sometimes by sickness, sometimes even by wickedness, which is what the disciples experienced when they saw Jesus up on the cross. They saw his life being taken away by wickedness. And yet today, on this Resurrection Sunday, when the disciples saw the Lord raised from the dead, they were given a new hope, a new reality, a new understanding about the life that comes from that from God, and that is this: his life is eternal. If the Lord has given to you life, then it is something that cannot be overcome. Because if it comes from God, who is eternal, and if the Lord, who is eternal, fills you with his presence, if he is in us and we are in him, then we have life. You know, in the early days of the church, when the people of faith were working through what all this meant, the Apostle Paul wrote to them and said this: if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you. Life is that which comes from God. And though in this place and time it animates our bodies and gives life out into the world, it is not just simply bound to those things, because life is not just biological. Instead, life is a way. It's an eternal way of being with the Lord, which means this: that there are some who might be alive biologically speaking. Their hearts might beat. Their lungs might work. Their minds might think. They might move about and grow and act in this world, getting things for themselves, living for themselves in a way that looks like life, only to realize that when all those things stop, when all those biological processes stop, all those desires and selfish intentions stop, when those things stop, they will realize that they had missed out on what the Bible calls life. For life is not just this. Life is a way of living unto the Lord. And when you live unto the Lord in the way of the Lord, those parts of you that come from his kingdom, they are eternal, and they will never be lost. This is why the disciples, after witnessing the resurrection, were transformed in the ways that they lived, because they knew that with God's life in them, all the sufferings of this world couldn't take that life away. Therefore, they began to become bold in the face of uncertainty and suffering. And I want you to hear me in this, because I'm not saying that the disciples were foolish with an idea that they had somehow become invincible. They were most definitely not invincible in this world. Rather, because the disciples had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they became utterly convinced that if they lived in the ways of the Lord, practicing his love for God and his love for one another as he himself practiced it, if they lived in that kind of way, then nothing could take away the abundant and eternal life that God had given to them. Let me offer to you an example. In the early days of the church, the disciples had gone out into their communities to tell others what they had seen in Jesus, that he was alive, and that his life was in them in such a way that they were now able to do amazing things through the love of God flowing forth from them. They were sharing their households with one another. They were blessing each other in times of need. They were healing the sick and being good to the community. They were filled with the life of God, and they were living in the way of the Lord. And that made some people upset with them. There were authorities and powers who did not like what they saw in the disciples. They didn't like the life that was so evident in them, and so they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out, and said this, "Go stand in the temple and tell all the people the whole message about this life," which is what they did. They went back to the temple where they first got in trouble at daybreak and went on with their teaching about the life of God in Jesus Christ, only to get arrested again. This time they got roughed up and flogged before the authorities released them and told them to stop speaking about the life of God in Jesus Christ. But as the apostles left the council, it says that they rejoiced that they had been considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name of Jesus, because it showed that his life was revealed in them, that life revealed in them was greater than any prison that could hold them. It was greater than any injustice that could be wielded against them. It was greater than any hurt or suffering that could be inflicted upon them. His life and his way of life, that is Jesus' life, is eternal. It's an eternal way of being with him, where we are moved by the ways of the Lord to live out the kingdom of heaven, to share the love of God with each other in the ways that Jesus shared God's love with us. That way of life, the life that comes from God, is eternal. And if it is in us, then we can be bold with it, just as the disciples were bold with it. Because here's the thing, there is no evil. There is no wickedness. There's not even any natural occurrence that can overwhelm it or overtake it or snatch it from the hands of the Lord, because it comes from God. And the Lord upholds the life that is truly life. Friends, it's one thing to say this. It's one thing for me to stand up here and speak boldly to say that this life is eternal. It's one thing to say it, and it's quite another to live into the truth of it. Because if we are going to live into the truth of God's life in us, then we are going to have to take some chances out in the world that can sometimes be so very harsh. At critical moments, we're going to have to believe that God's life in us is greater than the powers and the forces and the principalities of this world. At critical moments, we're going to have to see that even the prison can't overcome God's life. Even injustice can't overcome God's life. Even suffering can't overcome God's life. Therefore, we're going to be bold. We're going to live into that life. And we're going to do that because life demands faith. The life that comes from God, the life that really is life, that life requires faith to see it, to receive it, and to live into it. You know, it's interesting to note that not everyone believed the good news. Even after Jesus was raised from the dead, even after he showed forth a life that couldn't be destroyed by death, even then, not everyone believed the good news that Jesus is risen. Because that life that God puts in us, that life that God would have for us, it requires faith and trust. It requires faith to declare that Jesus Christ is risen. It requires faith to see it at work in this world, in your life, even when things are not going well, it requires faith to trust that this life is eternal and it cannot be taken away because life comes from God and God has revealed his life in Jesus Christ, who poured out all of his mercy and forgiveness and love there at the cross so that we could know this, that life cannot be overcome when it comes from God. God is good. God is mighty, and God is the author and perfecter of life. Therefore, we will trust that when we think about life, that we can have a confidence, that we can be bold in the ways of the kingdom and the ways of the Lord, because life is a way, and we will walk in that way. Friends, Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is risen. He is alive. He has shown forth that life can be given to you. It can be given to me. It can be given to us if we trust in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal and abundant and everlasting life. Today, may you receive that life that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. May you walk in that life by walking in the ways of the Lord and keeping close to him and holding fast to his ways no matter what happens. Do not be bent to the ways of wickedness. Do not be cowed by injustice. Do not be overcome by that which declares itself to be life, but yet is actually death. God is eternal, and he gives to us eternal life. Be bold in it. Go out as a people of faith who walk in life. Amen. Amen. Amen.